Okay.
So we are holding on Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots, seven lines from the top. Okay. We mentioned, we discussed the question of, we were discussing the issue of a lav she'en by maiseh. If you have a lav in the Torah where there's no action involved, does a person get malchus for it? We started with Rabbi Yochanan saying that, we started rather with Rav saying a general rule, if there's no maiseh, then there's no malchus. And we asked what about making a tzmura, what about meimer? And we said Rav would say that's only Rabbi Yehuda would say you get malchus for it. Then we had Rabbi Yochanan saying in the name of Rabbi Yisrael, really, that no, in general it's true. If there's no maiseh, then there's no malchus, except for three cases where a person swears falsely, a person makes a tumura, or a person curses somebody else in Hashem's name. So those, there's no maiseh, but he still gets malchus. Then we said, this is where we're up to, Dalet Amud Aleph, Mishum Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina Amru. They said in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina that there's another one, Afamakim Truma Lebikurim. Also, a person who designates truma before bikurim of their produce is also going to be chayav malchus. At least that's the assumption. Now we're going to revisit that later and see if that's what he means. But right now, the assumption is that he means that there's a fourth example, a fourth case where there's no mice involved, but a person gets malchus for it.
You're going to explain why.
Yeah, right now. My time is Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Why does Rabbi Yisrael Chanina say that somebody who gives truma, that somebody who designates truma before Bikurim gets malchus? The reason is,
what?
The three cases we discussed yesterday. We discussed where we know that Nishba gets malchus, because ki lo yinak Hashem. We discussed the whole matter of Shavuos Shav versus Shavuos Sheker. Meimer, we said, is actually Rabbi Yochanan himself said that Meimer doesn't really belong on the list because there is a Maisa, because you actually, the result of it at the end is you have another animal as a carbon. And Mekalas Chaver B'Shem, we said, because you have the Pasuk of the Imlo Sishmer, if you're not going to be careful to honor Hashem's name, meaning to not use it in vain, such as by cursing somebody, then you're going to get Malchus. So we learned where we know that those three, where those three. But Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina also says, my time is Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina. So why does Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina say that a person would get malchus for that? So like this, Amakra, because the pasuk says, Meleascha the dimacha loisa acher. Do not delay your meleascha, your melea, and your dema. So what does that mean? Melea eva bikurim. The word melea refers to bikurim. The word dimacha refers to truma, and therefore the amra loisachar, and the Torah is saying don't delay them, which doesn't just mean delay as in giving any of them beyond past the time you're supposed to. It also means delaying one of them delaying the one that was supposed to go earlier and putting it after the one that was supposed to go later, such as Bikurim and Truma. And we're going to say later in the Sugya, we're going to say in a little bit that the same rule would apply to other types of things also. The order is supposed to be Bikurim, then Truma, then Maaser Rishon, then either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending what year of the Shemitah cycle it is. So you're supposed to give them in that order, and there's this lav of doing it differently. How does Malaya come to mean Bikurim and Dima come to mean Truma? So Rashi says Bikurim is called Malaya because as soon as the Malaya means full, as soon as the produce is full and completely grown, then you have to bring Bikurim from it. Meanwhile, Dimacha refers to Truma because Rashi says, because you have the concept which we've had in many places in Chas of Dimua, where if Truma falls into less than 100 times as much cholin, then the whole mixture is called Miduma, and it's also to Zarim. Only Kayanim can eat it, so you have to sell the whole thing to Kayanim minus the value of the actual Truma, at the prices of Truma, minus the value of the actual Truma. So that kind of thing is called Miduma. So Rashi says, because of that, therefore, Truma itself is called Dema. Tosfos argues on that, because Tosfos points out. I mean, what do you mean? That whole concept of that truma, you need 100 times as much chulin kibim of afalit. That whole concept was only dirabanan. So why would the Torah use that name for it? Okay, so there are Rishonim will say that fine. You have sometimes you have the Gemara will say that like the Hashem knew in advance when he gave the Torah that eventually the Chachamim are going to make this takana, and therefore the Torah uses a certain term. But anyway, Tosfos gives a couple of other explanations. One of them is because the word gema, besides as we said meaning mixed up, it also means tears, as in liquids. So it's more appropriate for Truma because Bikurim has to be brought from actual fruit, as opposed to Truma can be brought from liquids as well. You can designate wine or oil as Truma, but you can't designate wine or oil as Bikurim. There's a few other reasons why Bikurim should be called Malaya and Truma should be called Gema. Rabbeinu Gershom has another one. He says that Bikurim, you're giving before anything, you're supposed to give before anything else. So like the produce is still full, nothing has been taken out of it yet. As opposed to when it comes to Truma, in effect what you have is, it's sort of like you have a mixture when you come to take out Truma. On the one hand, you've taken out Bikurim, so it's not Tevel insofar as the din of Bikurim is concerned, but on the other hand, it's still Tevel as far as Truma and Maisa, because you haven't taken those out yet, and therefore it can be called Gema, like in a certain sense, it's in a mixed, sort of in an in-between state. Okay, whatever it is.
Demai is
with an aleph. That's something else. Demai was with an aleph, and that's the usual explanation. And Mephoshim is that it comes from the word da-mai, which means what is this? Because like you're talking about produce where you're not sure what the status of it is. No, here we know what the status is. We know you've taken out Bikurim. We know you haven't yet taken out Truma. We're just saying it's sort of, in a certain sense, Rabbeinu Gershom is saying, it's sort of in that in-between state, because for one purpose, it's no longer Tevel. You already did one mitzvah with it. You took out Bikurim. But for another purpose, it's Tevel, because you haven't taken out Truma and Maisa yet. And therefore it can be called Gema, a mixture. Okay. Whatever it is, the point is the Torah is saying don't delay it, which also means don't delay the first one, the one that's supposed to be first, and do it after the one that's supposed to be second. And Rabbi Yosef of Chanina is saying, at least on the surface, that's the kind of lav for which a person gets malchus. Okay. So now we have a discussion on that point. Itmar, hikdim truma lebikurim. If a person did that, a person was over on that mitzvah, on that lav, and he designated truma before bikurim, what happens? Rabbi Lozer v'Rab Yosef b'Chanina. So we have a machloek des amiroim. Rabbi Lozer versus Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. Chad amar loike v'chad amar ene loike. Rabbi Lozer, one of them, we don't know yet which one, one of them says that he would get malchus, the other one says he would not get malchus. Okay, which one said which? Tistayim, well, we can conclude that Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina who da'ama loike. Must be Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina is the one who says he gets malchus. Mi da'ama Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, because we said before that Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina said, afa makim truma lebikurim. He said also, we had a list of three things for which we have a list of three things that Rabbi Yochanan had said, for which a person is chayav malchus, even though there's no ma'isa. And then Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina had added a fourth one, giving truma before bikurim. So there you go. Obviously, then he holds that you get malchus. And therefore, by elimination, Rabbi Lazar would be the one who says you don't. However, the Gemara says, no, Adram, on the contrary, Tistayim de Rabbi Lazar hu da'am aloika. On the contrary, you can conclude that Rabbi Lazar is the one who says you get malchus. The Tnan, because we have a Mishnah in Masechet Demai that goes like this. Now, most of Masechet Demai, of course, talks about Demai, where you have produce where you're not sure if Truma and Maisa was taken from it. Here we're talking about, on the surface at least, we're talking about the dinim that we're going to talk about over here would apply whether it's Demai or whether it's Vaday. Now, you have some dinim in Masechet Demai that apply to Vaday as well. Okay. So the Mishnah says, suppose a person has in front of him two baskets of produce, which is tevel, the omar, and he says, meiser shall zu bezu, the meiser that's supposed to be taken from the first basket should be instead designated in the second basket. So in other words, you have 2% truma, 10% meiserishin, etc. So he's saying, instead of taking any of, now we're talking about, by the way, that the two baskets have the same kind of produce in it, because we're going to discuss later on in the Gemara, you're not allowed to take truma from one, or meiser, from one type of produce on a different one. So we're talking about there are two baskets, both are two baskets of grapes, or two baskets of apples, or what have you. So they both have the same thing. So he says, instead of taking meiser from each one individually, I want to designate in basket number two that a certain part, that certain parts of basket number two are going to be truma and maisa on behalf of basket number one. So good. Harishonu mu'usar. That's good. So now the first basket has the maisa properly taken from it. But the second one not, obviously. The second one is, the second one is still, most of it is tevel, and part of it is, part of it is truma and maisa for the first one. But the first one, good. You've taken, you've designated your truma and maisa in the second one, therefore you can eat it. Okay. What about shel zubazu v'shel zubazu? What about if he says, I want the miser for basket number one to be in basket number two, and for basket number two, I want to be in basket number one? So he's saying, in other words, for each one, so for each one, he's saying, I want the truma and miser that's supposed to be for that basket, I want them to be in the other basket. Why he would do that, I don't know, but let's say he did that. If he does that, that's no good. Only the first one then is ma'isod, the second one is not. Because what happens, as the moment he says, shel zubazu, the moment he says the ma'isod of the first one is going to be in the second one, at that moment, all of the fruit in the first one is now potter from ma'isod, because now it's had its ma'isod taken from it. So now we can't go and say that we want the produce in basket, or some of the produce in basket number one to be truma and maaser on behalf of basket number two, because that's no good. You can't take from produce that's potter on behalf of produce that's chayev. And here you have, even though he said it but terkhi dibur and all, you terkhi dibur doesn't make a difference over here. The moment he said shol zubazu, then he made that the first one is the one that he's taking on behalf is potter from maaser, and therefore now he can't take from it on behalf of the other one. What about another possibility? If he says maaser sehem,
hello.
What about if he says maaser sehem maaser kol kola b'chavata? If he says their maasers, the maaser of each basket should be in the other one. So not like in the previous case where he said shel zubazu, and then later on shel zubazu. Here he's saying one word, maaser sehem, and maaser kol kola b'chavata. He's not mentioning one basket before the other. He's using words, both of them, which make it that both of them are included in one word. So that works. Kodah es Hashem, then it works. He's properly designated Meister, and then all he has to do is take it out and give it to the appropriate parties. The point is the Itmar. So that's the Mishnah so far. So you have three cases again. One where he just said that the Meister of one should be in the other one, and not the other way around, and that works. The second one, where he said the maaser of the first one should be in the second one, and the second one in the first one, that only works for the first one. It doesn't work for the second one. And the third one, where he says the maaser for both of them should be in each other, that works for both of them. Okay. The Itmar, but now we have a discussion of Amiroyim on that point. Rabbi Lozer on the Loike, that Rabbi Lozer says, okay, maaser is validly taken. Both baskets now have maaser taken on their behalf, therefore you can eat them. However, the guy is going to get malchus. Because he gave maaser sheni of the, he's going to get maaser sheni of the second one. He designated maaser sheni in it before maaser rishon for the other one. A couple of different gersoyos over here. What he means basically, Rashi just says Shehikta Maaser Sheni Shabbat La Maaser Rishon, that he designated Maaser Sheni before Maaser Rishon, because the point is, Rashi says, according to Rashi, Rabbi Lozer is referring back to the first case of the Mishnah where he said Shol Zubazu, that I'm going to designate the Maaser of the second of the first basket in the second one. So then, okay, each basket needs Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni taken from it. Now, when he takes Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni from it for the other basket, it comes out that he's taken Maaser Sheni before the Maaser Rishon that should have been taken from that basket itself. So that's one explanation that Rashi says why what we mean that he gave Maaser Sheni before Maaser Rishon. Toistfus discusses it also that what we may be talking. Toistfus also says that we're talking about the first case of the Mishnah. Whatever. The point is, Rabbi Lazar is saying that there's a case over here where he's getting Malkus because he gave Maaser Sheni before Maaser Rishon, and that pasuk that we mentioned, Maleos Chavadim Achalos Acher, does not only refer to Bikurim and Truma; it refers more generally to giving any particular Maaser before any other particular Maaser. So he says that you get Malkus. So in that case, Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that you get Malkus for giving Truma and Mais, for giving Maisris or whatever out of order. So we were trying to prove before when we have Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, we were saying Rabbi Yisrael Chanina must be the one who says you get Malkus because he put it on the list. But now we see from this discussion on this Mishnah that Rabbi Lazar is the one who says you get Malkus. Okay. So to say him, so fine, we can conclude, therefore, that Rabbi Lazar is indeed the one who says that you get Malkus for it. Okay, the problem is, what do you mean? Elo Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Gama any loika? So what are you telling me then? Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says that a person doesn't get Malkus for giving Truma before, for giving Bikurim and Truma or whatever out of order? Lema Kasha de Rabbi Yisrael Chanina de Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. In that case, is it going to come out that we have a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina? Because on the face of it, before he was saying that you have four lav shein b'maises for which you get Malkus, and one of them is this giving Truma and Truma and Maisu out of order. And now you're telling me that no, he says you're potter from Malkus from it, and it's Rabbi Lazar who says you chaya for it. So how does that fit? The answer is loy. No, because that's not what Rabbi Yisrael Chanina meant when he said before, when he mentioned it on the list. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina akhtura koi. On the contrary, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina is actually not referring to the case where was not referring to the section of the statement. We had Rabbi Yochanan saying like this: in general, a lav she'en b'maisa, you don't get Malkus, with three exceptions: nishba, vemer, and makalos chaver. Right? Then we said Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says also makdim truma lebikurim. We thought that he meant also, as in Rabbi Yochanan, you mentioned three, but I'll give you a fourth one. But now we're saying no, the other way around. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina actually meant that he's referring to the first part of the statement, that in general, lav she'en b'maisa, you're potter. V'hachi kama, so what he means to say is like this. Rabbi Yochanan had said, lav she'en b'maisa, ein loikin, all of it. You don't get Malkus for lav she'en b'maisa. And then the statement continued, Mishum Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Amru, they said in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, you should know, here's another case where a person is not getting Malkus for lav she'en b'maisa. Af ha'machtib turim ala b'korim. Also, a person designates Truma before Bikurim. If a person designates Truma before Bikurim, even though you would think don't think that that's considered a Maisa, which the Gemara is going to ask in a second. On the face of it is, we said before that Maimer is considered a lav sheyesh b'maisa because you've accomplished something with your statement. You said this animal instead of this one, therefore you gave it kedusha. On the face of it here, when you say truma before bikurim, also you're accomplishing something because you're saying you're making this produce truma. So why shouldn't you get malchus? Nevertheless, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina is saying the fact of the matter is you don't. So there's no contradiction. Before he wasn't saying you do get Malkus. We misunderstood him. We thought he meant you do get Malkus. Now we understand that he means you don't get Malkus. Rabbi Lazar is the one who's saying that you get Malkus for Makdim Shurma Lebikurim. Okay. So the question then is, Umayishna Meimer Deloki. So why are you telling me that if somebody makes a Tmura, he gets Malkus? Mishum Dibidiburi Asamaisa. You're saying, we said before, because after all, with your speech, you did accomplish something. Yes, it was only a verbal statement, but you accomplished something in the real world, because now you have an animal that has Kedusha. Well then, Makdim Truma Lebikurim Nami Loki. So why shouldn't we say that a person designates Truma before Bikurim, he should also get Malkus? He should also get Malkus. Same thing. Same thing. His saying, this is Truma, makes it that now it has the din of Truma. So why shouldn't we give him Malkus for that? The answer is, Amar Abavin, Shiny Hasan, the Lavshin Nitek La'esahu. Yes, but that's a different case because the Lav of giving Truma before Bikurim is a Lav on Nitek La'esah. as we have the usual kind of thing. You have a laugh, but then you have an essay that says that if you did it out of order, then undo it by doing such and such. So here it is, because the pasuk says, "Mikol ma'aseh seichem tarimu," from all of your ma'aseh, you should lift up, you should take up. Which we explain, actually we're going to have it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that you have a case, for example, where you gave Meister before Truma, which you weren't supposed to do, and we say, therefore, so Rav Yosi ben Chanina would say, the reason you don't get Malkus is because what do you do if you get, let's say you gave Meister Rishon before Truma, what you're supposed to do then is the Levi is going to give out of his percentage of my submission, he is going to give a share to the Kohen as Truma. Besides that he's giving Truma's Maiser, which is the regular thing that he gives out of his my submission, 10% of it, 1% of the total crop goes to the Kohen as Truma's Maiser. Besides that, if the lady went and took his my submission before you gave Truma, yes, you gave it to him, whatever, before you gave Truma. Yes, you were over on the lav of Malayas Chavadimacha, but we can fix it up because we can have Truma taken out of the Levi's portion and out of your portion. Therefore, it's a lav on Nithik Lasse, and therefore no Malkus. So it's different than Mamer, where Mamer, there's no lav on Nithik Lasse. The carbon, the animal became Kaddish, and there's no undoing that.
Truma,
so that would be the difference. But Truma and Meiser, there is undoing it, yeah, because we can give Truma and Meiser after the fact from the part that already went to the Levi, as opposed to with Memo, you don't have that. Okay, so that would be why Rav Yosi ben Chanina says you don't get Malkus for it. Okay, fine. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Dimi v'ka'amal Allah. What?
If he doesn't exchange it, if he doesn't take Truma within a certain amount of time, what happens?
It's not a matter of a certain amount of time. You have to take Truma and Maaser before you can eat the produce, otherwise it's Tevel. Person eats Tevel, he's Chayv Mitzvah D'Shamayim. But there's no specific time limit on it. I mean, the Gemara mentions in a few places that you have a chazaka on a chover, that a chover is not going to leave produce undone because he doesn't want to be machshel other people when eating it. But that's a midas chasidus that a chover will do, so he doesn't accidentally trip somebody up with an aveira. There's no particular din that you have to give truma and mice. Well, actually, maybe I shouldn't say that. Actually, No, I'm right. As far as I know, I don't think if you want to keep it indefinitely and you don't want to eat from it, fine, there's no hate. You just can't eat from it until you give Truma and Meiser from it. Once you've designated your Truma and Meiser, you're allowed to hold on to it. You're allowed to hold on to it for a while. You don't right away have to seek out a Kohen or a Levi to give it to. You have to Miktei Sholosh Shanim, when it comes to the time of Biur Meiseris, and in the fourth and the seventh years of Shemitah, then you have to make sure that all of them go to the appropriate parties. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Dimi v'ka'amal ala hashmaita. Rav Dimi was sitting and saying over this whole discussion, and in particular this last point that we mentioned, that giving truma before ma'aser is a lav on nitek la'aser, and therefore there's no malchus. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asked Rav Dimi v'chol lav shenitek la'aser loy loki. Are you telling me that any lav on nitek la'aser you don't get malchus? Memer actually is a lav on nitek la'aser. We were assuming that it wasn't. But the fact of the matter is, there is an essay involved in the sense that the Torah says, if you made a smota, what happens? Then both animals have kersha. That's in effect the essay. It's not undoing the effect of the lav, maybe, because the fact of the matter is the animal is kaddish, but the fact of the matter is you have a lav, and you have an essay that you're told to do. If you did the lav, then here is the corresponding essay. So therefore, and we see that you get malchus for it. We see that you get malchus for it. So therefore, why are you getting that's the question. Why are you getting malchus for it? That's Abaya's question is asking of Jimmy. You're telling me as a given that you don't get malchus for a lav for a lav hamitcha klaser. But then why that doesn't explain Tamura? Why does a person get Malkus for making a Tamura? Now, it is true that the essay of Tamura, unlike with a regular lava nitic la essay, the essay over here is not undoing the effects of the lav. Because the fact of the matter is, the animal is Kaddish. All it is, it's saying, a classic Lava Nitzik Lassa is that once you've done the essay, you've undone the effects of the Lois essay. For example, classic Lava Nitzik Lassa, well, one example we had over here was as far as Truma and Bikoret, as far as Truma and Meister. But another example, let's say, is where the Torah tells us, as we're going to discuss further down on the Almud, for example, that the Torah tells us don't leave over from the Korban, from the Korban Pesach, but if you do, then burn it. So that's a Lava Nitzik Lassa. Once you did the essay, you've undone the lab. We had an example at the end of Chulin, for example. Don't take the mother bird together with the young, but if you did, then send her away. So those are Lava Nitzik Lassa. Here it's a little bit different because the essay that the animal is a korban doesn't undo the effects of the lav. On the other hand, though, the point is, the fact is that in general, one way of understanding the Gemara's question, of understanding Abaye's question, is that where do we know, b'chlau, what the rule is, what kind of lavim get malchus and what don't? We learn from the Torah mentions malchus and immediately afterwards mentions the mitzvah loisachsem shorbedisher, that you're not allowed to muzzle an ox while it's threshing. So we learn therefore, that for a lav to be chayav malchus, it has to be similar in certain ways to that lab. So that lab has no corresponding essay involved. There's no corresponding essay to allow the ox to eat. It's implicit. You can't muzzle it. Implicitly, therefore, you have to allow it to eat. So therefore, a lab that has an associated essay, even if that essay doesn't really undo the lab, like in this case, Abaye is considering it a lab on Nitzik Lassa. So the question is, why are you not getting malchus? And we know that you get malchus ditzanan because we learned in the Mishnah. Loi shadim rashoi lahomer. We said a person's not allowed to make a tzmura. Eloshei mehemer mumer. But if he did make a tzmura, then it takes effect. The second animal has kedusha. The seifik has habayim. He's getting malchus. So we see clearly he's getting malchus. Why? If it's a lava nitzik lassa. Now, Tosfos points out we have explicit places all over Shas, including we have Mishnayos, for example, that one at the end of Chulin that says that a lava nitzik lassa, you don't get malchus. What does Abaye knows those Mishnayos? What is he asking? So Tosfos said, really, because he, what?
We're saying it's not really Nitzak the asking. Once it's
no, but again, Abaye is assuming. No, but the point is, obviously, if Abaye is considering even this to be a lava nitzik lassa, surely he would consider the regular ones to be the regular ones, the classic cases where the essay actually undoes the lav. So the question is, Tosfos says, what's Abaye thinking? He knows perfectly well that there are Mishnayos in various places in Shas, for example, at the end of Cholin, that say that you don't get malchus for a lava nitzik lassa. So what is he asking? What's he bothering Rabbimi about for? The answer is Tosfos says, fine, because you're a classic lava nitzik lassa. You have the essay right after the lav, or right adjacent to the lav. For example, by Shalom Hakan, you have loy sikach ha'em al abonim, don't take the mother with the babies, and then right away, after that, shalayach ha'shalach ha'em, send away the mother bird, implying if you were over on loy sikach ha'em, immediately undo it by doing shalayach ha'shalach ha'em. Same thing by Noiser, same thing by many other lava nitzik lassas. Over here, Abaye is asking that you're telling me when it comes to Truma and Meiser that you're not getting Malchus because the Lav on Nitzik La'ese, but there the Ese is not anywhere near the Lav. The Lav is the Lav is in Parshas Mishpatim. The Ese, the corresponding Ese, Mikol Maaser Seichem Tarivu, was in Parshas Korach, two Chumashim later. So therefore, Abaye is saying, do we really consider that a lava nit? Do we really consider that a lava nitzik lassa? And over here, when it comes to Mamer, the fact of the matter is that with Mamer, aside from the fact that the essay doesn't really undo the lav, more to the point, you're not actually doing anything for the essay. The usual case of lava nitzik lassa is you're doing something. You're sending away the mother bird. You're burning the leftover Korban Pesach or whatever. Here you're not doing anything. It's just the animal itself has kedusha, and automatically that means it has to be brought to the Korban. So that's Abaye's question, is why are you telling me that even in cases like this, you don't get malchus when we see by Tzmura you do? The answer is, the Gemara says, Havalu trei lavi b'chad esse, because you actually have, when it comes to Tzmura, you actually have two lavim. Because the passage says, lo yachlifen uvo lo yomer oisoi. You're not allowed to exchange it. You're not allowed to swap it. And you only have the one esev that if you do v'hayahu t'murasi yekodesh v'loy osi chad esev oket shrei lavi. You can't say that one esev is going to undo the effect of two lavim. When it comes to classic lava nitzik lassa, fine, you got one lav and one esev. Same thing when it comes to Truma and when it comes to Truma and Maisa giving them out of order, even if we say, fine, we're going to say it's not a classic lav and it's a glass there because they're in different places in the Torah, but still, you have it's one lav and one esser. Here, you have two lavim and one esser, so therefore that's going to be different. Therefore, we're still going to give him malchus. Okay. The question is, because you have two lavim, and so you can say that one lav was undone by the mitzvah saseh, but you have another lav.
One is lo yachli fenu,
and the second one is lo yom erosin. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks why? Bahare onus, consider the case where a man rapes a psula. And the pasuk says he has a mitzvah to marry her, and if he does, he's never allowed to divorce her. But the chad lav v'chad eseh, there you have one lav, don't divorce her. You have one eseh that he should marry her, assuming that she wants to, that is. And v'loy osi chad eseh v'akar lav. And there we say that even the one eseh doesn't undo the lav. We say the person is going to be chayav malchus. Namely, not always, but in certain cases, Titania, because we have a b'raisa, Oines Shigirish, what happens if this Oines, so he raped a girl, the Torah tells him to marry her, so he marries her. Later on, he goes and divorces her, which the Torah told him not to, because the Torah says that lo yuchal shalcha. So im Yisrael, so it depends. If he is a Yisrael, no problem. Yisrael is allowed to remarry a divorced woman. Machzir ve'enei loike, he is obligated to remarry her. And he doesn't get malchus, so therefore he's able to do the esseh, so therefore he's able to do or redo the esseh, therefore he doesn't get malchus. The kohen who loyka v'ena machzer, but if he's a kohen, then a kohen can't marry a grusha, therefore he gets malchus, and he doesn't marry her again because he can't marry her again being a grusha, but he gets malchus because he gets malchus because he was over on the loyka there without being able to do the esseh. The point is, what?
How much does he owe the woman if he's a Kohen? The same amount?
Say what?
How much does he owe?
So in the case of both Mefata and Onis, he owes her 50 shekel. He owes her 50 shekel, and then plus also we learned in Erchin, there's also Boshus and Pagam, and actually in the case of Onis, there's also Tsar. So he pays, whatever. But the point is, we're not getting into the payments right now. We're getting into the fact that the Torah also tells him to marry. In the case of the Mefata, it's a choice. In the case of the Mefata, if he wants to marry her, then he doesn't pay anything, or at least he doesn't pay the 50 shekel, because instead that becomes uksuba. If he decides he doesn't want to marry her, then instead he pays the 50 shekel, or Persius and Gam. But in the case of an Oines, the Torah doesn't give him that choice. The Torah tells him, as long as she wants and her father wants, whatever, then you have to marry her.
But if he's a Kohen, he cannot marry her. One second.
He's a Kohen, of course he can marry her. He can't marry, he was a Kohen Gadol, he couldn't, because a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Psula. But he's not a Kohen Gadol, he's a Kohen Hediot. A Kohen Hediot is allowed to marry a non-Psula. He's just not allowed to marry a divorced woman. So therefore, if he divorces her, then we have a problem because now he can't redo the mitzvah saseh of marrying her. Therefore, we're saying he gets malchus.
Okay.
So the point is, in other words, that we're saying that this mitzvah of lo yuchal l'shalcha, that he's not allowed to divorce her. This mitzvah that he's not allowed to divorce her is a lava nitikla eseh. It's a lava nitikla eseh. And nevertheless, we're still saying that if he's a kohen, he's going to get malchus. So why not? Okay, now of course you could ask the question, what do you mean, why not? In the case of a kohen, there's no nitikla eseh because he's not allowed to remarry her. So Rashi, there's a couple of different explanations. Rashi gives a couple of explanations. One of them is that the mitzvah is really only on the first time he marries her. In other words, once he marries her, once Veloisi of Isha, once she became his wife, at that point he fulfilled the mitzvah. If later on he divorces her, okay, then he's over on the lav. then he doesn't have the mitzvah anymore of Veloisi Elisha, then he has that the pasuk says Loyuchal Shalcha Kol Yomav, which means that throughout his life, throughout her life, he has a mitzvah to remarry her. So therefore you could say it is a lava nitik la'esa, because the fact is it was associated with an esa, because when the actual esa that's spelled out in the Torah is Veloisi Elisha, and that is accomplished the first time he marries her, which whether he's a Kohen or Yisrael, he could do that. So therefore, on the face of it, therefore, we should still consider it a lava nitik la'esa, even though in this particular case, the Kohen is not able to remarry her, fine, but remarrying her is not something he has to do because of the esa. That's actually something he has to do as an outgrowth of the Lois esa. That's one explanation of Rashi. Another explanation of Rashi is he has a different gusa over here that the Gemara had wanted to say, that the Gemara was wanting to say in this gusa, that the difference, we don't say in general that a lava nitik la'esa, you don't get malchus, but we only say that when the esa applies to everybody. And therefore, in that sense, it's stronger than the lav. But if the lav, for example, applies to everybody and the essay is only certain people, then we would say that it gets malchus anyway. So then according to that piersa, therefore, the question is why a kohen is getting malchus, because the lav doesn't apply to everybody. Because if a kohen divorces her, he can't remarry her, so there's no kol yamav. And the essay does apply to everybody because the essay does apply to everybody because the kohen has to marry her in the first place. Anyway, the point is the Gemara is assuming that it's considered for either of these reasons, that it is considered a lav, that it is considered a lava nitik la'esa even for a kohen, because even the kohen was not able to remarry her, there was the original essay. There was the original essay of marrying her, and according to the second version, also the essay is stronger than the lav. And we're saying the kohen gets malchus. So why? The answer is kohenim kamrit. You're asking from a case of kohenim, that's a special case. Kohenim, tainachrinahu. By kohenim, there's a special reason. The Rabbi Rachmana Kedusha Yisera, the Torah tells us that kohenim have an extra level of kedusha. So therefore, you could say the usual rules of lava, the usual rules of lava nitik la'esa won't necessarily apply to them. Here we have, when it comes to a kohen, according to Rashi's first explanation, even a lava nitik la'esa, we're going to give him malchus, even though a Yisrael in a parallel case would not get malchus. Or according to Rashi's second explanation, we're saying that because the fact of the matter is, when it comes to a Yisrael, the esser and the lois esser are of the same of the same strength, because both of them apply equally to all Yisraelim. The fact that they don't apply equally to all kohenim, big deal, with machmir on kohenim. So therefore, that's how we can explain that in that case a kohen is getting malchus even though it's a lava nitik la'esser. But normally we'd say a lava nitik la'esser, you don't get malchus. Okay. Something else says kitanori. This whole point is like a machlokes tanori. Which whole point? Now, we've been talking about two different kinds of things. We've been talking about lava nitik la'esa was the most recent one. But Tosfos says we're not actually referring to that. We're actually referring back to earlier when we talk about lav she'en ben ma'isa. When we have the whole discussion about lav she'en ben ma'isa with the three exceptions, or however many exceptions. So now we're going to return to that and say there's actually machlokes tanoim on that point, whether a person gets malchus for a lav she'en ben ma'isa. So like this. The Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to leave any of it over for the morning. That means Bar HaKasav Litan, and then the Pasuk continues that if you left over till the morning, you have to burn it. That means Bar HaKasav Litan Esa Achalois Esa. It means the Torah is coming to put an Esa following the Lois Esa. So you were over on the Esa, you were over on the Lois Esa. You left over from the Korban. Therefore, here's an Esa to do to make up for it, burn the Korban. So Rabbi Yehuda says that comes to tell us, therefore, that a person does not get malchus for leaving over from the korban because it's a lava nitik la'esa. Rabbi Yaakov says no. Loy min hashem uzeh. That's not the reason. Nothing to do with lav shein ben ma'isa. The reason is not to do with lava nitik la'esa. Ela mishum to have a lav shein ben ma'isa. But rather, the reason is because the lav she'en me'maisa, because there's no action involved. You passively left over from the korban, and it became noiser with the time. Lav she'en me'maisa in Leukinolov, and Rabbi Yaakov would say, any lav she'en me'maisa, you don't get malchus. Okay, so miklal, so the implication, the fact that Rabbi Yaakov has to point out, implies that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Miklal, that Rabbi Yehuda saw the like in all of. The implication, therefore, is that Rabbi Yehuda would hold, even though it's a lav she'en memai, so you could get malchus for it. So we mentioned earlier in the sugya, we mentioned the opinion when we said that Rabbi Yehuda at the very beginning of the sugya on lav shein memaisa, we said that Rav would say that when you say that a meimer gets malchus only according to Rabbi Yehuda, because a lav shein memaisa, Rabbi Yehuda would say he gets malchus. Well, here we have where we see that Rabbi Yehuda implicitly said that. That he says that a lav shein implicitly, he's saying a lav shein memaisa, you can get malchus. And Rabbi Yaakov would hold that not, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda, who would hold that conceivably you could get malchus for a lav shein memaisa, he has to find a different reason why you don't get malchus for noiser, why for leaving over noiser, and the reason is because the lav hanitik laaser, because you have an eser to undo it. Rabbi Yaakov, who holds that a lav shein memaisa, you don't get malchus. Good, that's enough as far as he's concerned. That's enough of a reason. You don't need more reason than that. So the question then is, Rabbi Yaakov, Haivan, Noisim, Menat, Boka, Ba'ish, Tisrei, Fulamai, also. Okay, according to Rabbi Yaakov, what are we doing with the pasuk that says whatever's left over you have to burn in the morning? If he doesn't need it for lava nitik lasa, because as far as he's concerned, it doesn't matter as nitik lasa, just the fact that if a lav shein memaisa is enough to make him not have to get malchus. So what is he doing with this pasuk? Obviously, Tosfos says, I mean, you could say he needs the pasuk to tell us that you have to burn it, but the question is, again, as Tosfos has said before, a real lav anitik la'eseh is where the lav is immediately followed by the eseh. If according to Rabbi Yaakov we don't need that, then why does the Torah have to say it over here? The Torah could have said elsewhere, someplace else in Chumash, the Torah could have told us that you burn no. So why does it say davka here? The answer is mevoy levechidetanam. Rabbi Yaakov would use it to teach us what we learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim as follows. Ha'atzomos, the bones of the Korban Pesach. Remember, you can't break the, we're talking about bones that have marrow in them. And remember, it being the Korban Pesach, you can't break open the bones to get the marrow, so therefore the marrow is going to become noiser eventually. That's the bones. Ha'gidin, and the gidim, in particular the gidan nosher, because you can't eat it. Ha'noiser, and anything else that was left over from the Korban. Yisofu b'shishal, so all of those have to be burned on the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day Chalamayad, not on the 15th. You don't burn them the morning after you eat the Korban Pesach, the night going into the 15th, the Seder night. You know, you don't burn the noiser the next morning, which is the morning of Yom Tov. You wait until the first morning of Chalamayad, and then you burn them. And continues the Mishnah, Chal Shisha also beis b'Shabbos. If the 16th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, which nowadays we don't have that in our fixed calendar, we never have the 16th of Nisan. It's never Shabbos, but in those days it could be. So if it did, you sow for b'Shiva also. Then instead, you delay it. You don't burn it on Shabbos either. You burn it on the 17th, which would be Sunday. Because burning Noiser does not override Shabbos or Yom Tov, even though you have a mitzvah to burn Noiser, but you can't do it on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So why not? The Amar Chizkiah, so Chizkiah says, V'chein tonet ve'chizkiah, and also they learned in the yeshiva of Chizkiah, Braisa as follows, my timer, because Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, V'han Noiser mimenu ad boiker, v'esh tisrei, for the Pasuk says, whatever's left of it until the morning, you should burn in fire. Now the Pasuk already said that you can only eat the Korban Pesach until the morning. So why the extra until the morning? It means bar hakosav within boker sheni l'shrei fasei. Means the Torah is telling us that you have a second morning when you have to burn it. So this, the Torah is saying, you have to eat the Korban Pesach before morning, meaning of the 15th of Nisan. And then second. If you what?
Second, yeah. The boker.
Yeah, and then the second boker teaches us you have to wait till another morning, till the morning of the 16th, in order to burn it. So the point is, Rabbi Yaakov would use the pasuk for that, to teach us that concept, that you don't burn noiser on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay. So that's that, therefore. So the bottom line is, so the bottom line of this whole sugya is that lav she'en b'maisa, according to most opinions, you don't get malchus for. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you do. Lav ha'nitek la'esa, in general, you also don't get malchus for, but there are certain exceptions. One of them, we said, is for Kohen. A Kohen in the case of an Anusa, where the Torah tells us he's not allowed to divorce her. If he divorces her, then we're saying he gets Malchus, even though on the face of it, it's a lav hanitik la'eseh. And also the case of Mamer, which is the subject of our Masechta, person makes an animal a Tmura, even though Rav Yochanan has said it's not actually a lav she'ein bei ma'aseh, because there is a ma'aseh involved because he's making an animal into a korban. But either way, even though on the face of it you could argue maybe it's a lav she'ein bei ma'aseh, and you could also argue that it's a lav hanitek la'aseh in the sense that there is an associated eseh that the Torah adds to it, namely that the second animal becomes kaddish. Nevertheless, you get malchus for it.
The halacha is
like the chachamim as far as lav she'ein bei ma'aseh, and as far as lav she'ein bei ma'aseh, so a person doesn't get malchus for lav she'ein bei ma'aseh. With the three exceptions that we said, a person swears falsely, shuas shavu, shuas sheker, whatever, falsely or uselessly, whatever. Neymar, of course, makes a tmura, or makalas chaveda b'shem, or cursing somebody in Hashem's name. Those three things a person does get malchus for. But a person does not get malchus for separating truma and bikurim, or truma and maiser out of order, nor for any other lav shein b'maiser. And when it comes to lav hanitek la'aseh, then it depends. Generally, lav hanitek la'aseh is also no malchus, with certain exceptions, including we have the exception of the koyanim, and we have the exception of tmura.
And if he's his parents, he gets mitzah.
Yeah, mitzah, that's a whole different matter, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about when he said Mekal is chamer v'shem, we're talking about he curses another fellow, a fellow Jew other than his parents. Yeah, then he's just getting malchus, yeah. Okay. New topic, very famous machlokes. Amar Abaya. Kol milsa, and the reason why we're going to bring it over here is because it's going to relate to tomorrow. We're going to discuss the question. The question is going to be like this. If a Torah tells you not to do something, and you did it anyway, does your action have any effect? Now, so of course, we're going to eventually get into tomorrow, because tomorrow seems to be exactly that kind of situation. The Torah tells you, lo yachlifenu v'lo yomiroi, and nevertheless, though, Torah is telling us that the korban takes effect. So we're going to see, so that's, we're going to have a whole discussion on that one. Amar Abaya, kol milsa de amar achmana loy savid, whenever the Torah tells you don't do something, im avid mahan, if he was over and he went ahead and did that thing, says Abaya, what he did will take effect. To Isaac that loy mahani, and Abaya says it's logical, because if he's going to say that what he tried to do didn't even take effect, am I lucky? Why would he get malchus? But Pashtus, you only get malchus if you actually did something wrong, namely that you actually accomplished something wrong, not just if you tried to. So therefore, so Abaya says it must be, therefore, and we're going to go through, the Gemara is going to go through, we're going to have a sugya over here that extends over a couple of blot, and we're going to go through many, many different places in Shas where we have a case where the Torah says don't do something, and the question is whether that something has an effect. The sugya is going to go on for a couple of blocks. So Abaya says the general rule is that the fact that the person gets malchus demonstrates that what he did does actually have an effect in halacha. Rava Amar, Rava says no, loy mahani midi. No, if a person went against something the Torah says, then what he did doesn't accomplish anything. Nothing has been accomplished by that. So why does the person get malchus? Because he was over on what Hashem said. Hashem said, don't do, meaning don't try to do such and such. He tried to do such and such. It doesn't actually have an effect in halacha. Rava says it doesn't matter. He's still getting malchus for it. So now we're going to go through the whole sugya. Of course, it's going to go all the way to Daf Vav, this whole machlokas. But different achronim talk about different possibilities. One possibility is if we're talking about something that's only osur at a certain time, then maybe Abaya and Rava would both agree that what he did has effect, because after all, usually when he does it, it would be allowed. It's only at certain times that you're not allowed to do it. Also, for example, another possibility is if the action could have been accomplished without doing an Avera, let's say, for example, a person shechts on Shabbos, he could have equally well shechted on weekdays. So the question would be maybe we would say that it's still considered a valid shechit anyway. That's different. The Shach mentions that concept, for example. Okay. Anyway, so let's get into it. Let's get into various cases where the charter says don't do something and a person does it, and we're going to see whether what he did actually takes effect or not. And eventually, of course, we're going to get to the topic of Al Masechta, which is Torah, and see how that fits with Rava's opinion, where Rava says that what he did doesn't have effect, where the Torah says it does have effect. So we'll see. So, case number one, Meisvi. The Gemara says we have a contradiction. We just said before, Oynes Shigirish, if the person who raped a girl, a Bsula, that again, the Torah says he has to marry her, and if he when he marries her, he's never allowed to divorce her. So Oynes Shigirish, we said if he is over on that Isser and he divorces her, Im Yisrael Hu Machzav Eina Leike. So if he's Yisrael, then he has to remarry her, and therefore, and he doesn't get Malkus. So why? According to Rava, the Amit Kivin to Amr Amimur to Araisa Loki, if you're telling me once he's over on something the Torah says he should get Malkus, then Honami Loki. Then in this case he should get Malkus, because the fact is the Torah told him don't divorce her. He went and divorced her, and therefore we should say that that he was over on something the Torah says, and therefore he ought to get Malkus. So Tuf to Rava. Isn't that a contradiction on Rava? The answer is Amalach. Rava can answer you shiny hotam. It's different in the case of the Ones who divorced his wife. The Amakra, because the Pasuk is Kol Yamav. The expression in the Pasuk is that he's never allowed to divorce her. Lo Yuhal Shalcha Kol Yamav, throughout his whole life, he may never send her away. Which means kol yomav ba'amoid v'hachzer. So it means throughout his life, he's never allowed to divorce her. And it means if he divorced her at any time during his life, as long as he's alive, he has to remarry her. So he still has that mitzvah of amoid v'hachzer. So you can't say, in other words, this is how Rashi explains the Gemara's point is that you can't, until the point is reached where he's no longer able to marry her. For example, if she dies, up until that point, you can never really say that he was over on the lav, because Rava is saying, like I was saying, implicit in the lav is that as soon as he's over the lav, then immediately he has a mitzvah to undo the lav and remarry her. And therefore, in effect, the lav has not been violated until we reach a point where he's not able to remarry her.
You can say it's violated every... Arizah. You can say the opposite. You can say just the opposite. You can say the love is violated until he marries her.
Well, because the love is lo yuchal shalcha. He's not allowed to send her away. So until he marries her, there's no love of sending her away. If he doesn't end up marrying her, he's over on the essay. He's over on the essay of voice the other isha. But for sure, you don't get malchus for failing to be mekayim an essay. Basically, may force him to do it. That's another matter. But the point is that there's Malkus. He's not going to get to that. But according to Rashi, the point is, once it says, Lo Yuchal Shalcha Kol Yamav, it itself means, when is he over on the Isser, only if he sent her away in such a way that it is Kol Yamav, that's irreversible. So that's why we said before that Koyin is going to get Malkus for it, because once he divorces her, it is irreversible. But for Yisrael, it's not. Therefore, he hasn't yet been over the lab. That's how Rashi explains it. You have other explanations, including another explanation from the Ramah, is that we take the word kol yomav and put it together with loisiyah le'isha, that you always have the mitzvah saseh of loisiyah le'isha, that she should be his wife. So therefore, so the point is, in other words, again, the idea would be that until we reach a point where he can't remarry her, then he hasn't truly been over on that lav. Therefore, Rava wouldn't say that he gets Malkus, and therefore there's no contradiction to Rava in the fact that he gets Malkus. Okay. Ula Baya, but we have to ask according to Abaya, why does it have to say Kol Yomov? Because according to Abaya, we're saying anyway that whatever he did is ineffective. Which actually, the Gemara is going to take up the point in the second version, which we're going to have in a second. The Gemara is going to take up the point that on the face of it, according to Abaya, we have to ask that if Abaya is saying what he did against the Torah doesn't have any effect, then how does the divorce b'chlal take effect? So the Gemara is going to take that. The Gemara is going to take that in the second lashon. But right now the Gemara assumes. The Tosafot says that the Gemara in the first version, the Gemara says, good. Listen, given that the Torah tells us he has to remarry her, then obviously that implies that the divorce has to be effective. Otherwise, there's no remarrying her. So that's the question. According to Abaya, why do we need to say kol yomov? It could just say lo yuchal shal, so he's not allowed to divorce her. That's it. E lav de omer achmana kol yomov. Abaya would say, Torah had not said the words kol yomov. Have a minute. You would think like this. Isura hu de ovidlei. Look, at that point, he was over on the Issa already. He violated a law. He divorced her when he wasn't supposed to. Therefore, at that point, it's his choice. If he wants to remarry her, he can remarry her. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. You would think, once he was over on the lab, then not necessarily is there a way of making it up. Kamash Malan, the words Kol Yomov teach us, again, the same thing as we said according to Rava, that it means that until we reach the point where he's divorced her in such a way that's permanent, then he still has the mitzvah of remarrying. So therefore, we don't say if he divorced her, then he has a choice at that point what to do. No, the words kol yomov teach us he still has no choice. He still has to remarry her, unless he's a kohen or otherwise is unable to, and then he will get malchus. Okay, so that's version number one of that part of the discussion. So there was no contradiction on Rava, because the words kol yomov mean that he's not really over on the lav until we reach the point of kol yomov. Lishnachrina, a second version of the discussion goes like this. Mesvi, that it starts off like this. It starts off with the question, Mesvi, we have a contradiction. On Abaya, according to the second version, we said Onis Shagirish, we said if he divorces the girl that he rapes. Im Yisrael who machs the vein aloika, again, we said if he's Yisrael, he has to be married her, but he doesn't get malchus. The Im Koyen who loika vein machs. So if he's a Koyen, then he gets malchus and he can't remarry her. Nu katani im Yisrael hu machzer. So we're saying that if he's Yisrael, he has to remarry her. So why do you have to Abaya? That's a contradiction. And Abaya, why would he have to remarry her if, according to Abaya, the divorce didn't even take effect? Kol ma de oven rachman aloy sabit. The Torah told him, don't do it. Don't divorce her. We should say e ovid loy mahani. If he did it, it should be ineffective. So the divorce shouldn't even take effect. It should still be considered that lahalacha she's remarried to her. So if she's remarried, she's still married to him. So according to Abaya, why do you have a mitzvah to remarry her? And again, the answer is shiny hosam. The Rachman Olam, kol yomov. Again, the reason would be, as we were saying before, because the Torah says kol yomov all his days, meaning kol yomov v'amoyt v'hachzer, it means that the mitzvah to remarry her is in effect all his life. So the very fact that the Torah writes those words, kol yomov, implies that this would be an exception to Abaya's rule. Usually we would say, Ovid Loimahani, according to Abaya, but in this case, since the Torah itself says that he has a mitzvah, kol yomov, to remarry her, that itself implies that the divorce did take effect. Okay. Vidrava, is in the second version, well, the divorce took effect, even though Abaya would usually say, Ovid Loimahani, but in this case, we would say this is an exception to the rule, and the divorce does take effect. And that's because the Torah tells us Kol Yomov that he has a mitzvah throughout his life to remarry. That would be a question.
There's a
concept. Yeah. The Rava. So now we have to explain in the second version. Rava would be the one who has to explain why it says Kol Yomov, because according to Rava, obviously it has to say Kol Yomov. According to him, the divorce took effect, no question about it, and therefore obviously we have to say that he has to remarry her. So now we have to ask according to Rava, what is the pasuk adding? And the answer is Amalach. He'll tell you. Yeah, but if the Torah hadn't written the word kol yomov, have a minute, you would think Luki v'lahader, you would think like this. He gets malchus because he was over on the lav, then he has the mitzvah of remarrying her. To have a little lav greater, you would think, without the word kol yomov, you would think you have a plain lav without an associated esse. Dichtiv lo yuchal l'shalcha, because the pasuk is not allowed to send her away. So you would think, therefore, that this is not a lav hamitik lasse. You would say it's a plain lav. Therefore, he's going to get malchus. And yes, he has to remarry her because the Torah says lo yelisha. Ahachi kosev kra kol yomov. Therefore, Rava would say that is why the Torah uses the word kol yomov l'shav yelo oynis l'loisa sesh mitik lasse. That way, it turns this lav into a lav hamitik lasse. Ge'en loikin olav, which, as we said before, lava nitik la'esa, you don't get malchus, and therefore that's the point That Rava would say that's the point that the Pasuk is accomplishing by putting in the word Kol Yomav, not to say that we needed to say the divorce didn't take effect. Of course it took effect. No reason it wouldn't, according to Rava. But to say that it shouldn't think that once he was over on that issue of divorcing her, then he's getting Malkus and then he has to remarry her. No, the word Kol Yomav teaches us it's a Lava Nitiklasa and there's no Malkus for a Lava Nitiklasa. Okay. So version number one of that question, again, was on Rava, and we answered it. Version number two of the question was on Abaya, and we answered it also. Okay. Another case in the Torah. V'harei terim min ha-ra ala yafa. What about you have the case where a person gives truma from bad produce on behalf of good produce? So we had before the case of the two baskets, for example. There we said they're the two the same species. We didn't say over there, but the assumption is, let's say, that they were also both the same quality. But here we're talking about you have two different batches of produce, both the same type but different qualities. So you're not supposed to give truma from the bad quality stuff on behalf of the good quality. The Pasuk says that you're supposed to give truma and ma'isa mikol chelboi from all of its fatness, meaning from all of its best quality, implying chelboi ein geruin loy, so you're only supposed to give chelboi, you're not supposed to give the bad stuff, or tanan, yet we learn in a Mishnah in truma, ein termin min ara ala yafa, you're not supposed to take truma from bad produce on behalf of good produce, the im taram truma se truma. But if you did take that, then b'dieved, that truma is valid truma. Alma mahani. So we see there the Torah says don't do something, and he went and did it, and nevertheless we're saying it takes effect. Cure to the Rava. That would be a contradiction on Rava. Which, by the way, Mefarshim point out over here, you see from this that the Shittim HaKobetah over here talks about this, you see that it doesn't even need to be that the Torah says explicitly, don't do such and such. Here the Torah never says explicitly, don't give from bad on behalf of good. It's just implicitly. And still we say, and still we're asking from it on Rava. So we see that Rava's and Abaya's Machloikas would be, says the Shittim HaKobetah, also applies to cases where the Torah doesn't explicitly say, don't do it. It's just the Torah wants you to do it a certain way, and he did it differently. Anyway, the point is, it's a question on Rava. According to Rava, because the Torah is implying that you shouldn't take from bad on good, therefore it shouldn't take effect. So what do we say in Truma Se Truma? The answer is, Amalach Rava. The answer is, Rava will answer you, Shiny Hasam Ki Rav Ila. It's different in that case based on what Rav Ila said. The Amar Rav Ila, Minayim Matodim in a Ra La Yafer Se Truma Se Truma. How do we know that if a person was over on this and gave from bad produce on behalf of good produce, how do we know shetrumase truma, that his truma is valid truma? The reason is, shenema, because the Pasuk says, v'loy sisu olav chet, the Pasuk says, you won't bear guilt for it, v'harim chemes chelboi mimenu, when you take off the fatness, meaning the good quality stuff, from it. So therefore now, the Pasuk is saying, in other words, in context, that when you're saying to Levim, when you give Trumas Meiser, then when you give Trumas Meiser to the Kohenim, then you won't be committing an Aveira because you won't be eating Kevel. But the expression in the Pasuk is, you won't commit an Aveira, you won't be bearing an Aveira, Baharim Chemes Chelbe Mimenu, when you take off the Chelev, the fat from it, implying therefore that otherwise, so the point is, in Eine Kodesh, now if you were going to say that when a person doesn't take chayla, when a person takes the worst quality stuff, you were going to say that it's not considered truma. If it wasn't Kodesh, Nesios Chet Lama, then why would the Torah have to, why would there be the implication that a person would bear an Avera for it? In other words, presumably, again, if what the person did has an effect, the truma is now truma, then you would say, in that case, the Torah is saying a person bears an Avera. A person has done something wrong by doing that, and he bears the consequences of that Avera. But if the truma didn't even take effect, then what would there be on the Siyo Schet? What would you say that he's bearing an Avera for? From here we see that, yes, if a person does give from bad on behalf of good, it's still considered valid truma. So therefore, Rava would say, so again, we were asking on Rava that why should it take effect? What happened to E. Ovid Loimahami? The answer is, in this case, the Torah itself spells out that it does take effect. Trace just points out over here. I mean, well, what?
Things are other. It's an exception here.
It's an exception rule because there's that caution. In general, it wouldn't work, but in this case, it works, right? Okay, I mean, Trace was asked the question. I mean, you know, we're kind of begging the question over here. I mean, we're in the middle of discussing this very point of E of Loy Mahani. Is the person Rava is saying the person is chayev? The person is chayev a punishment just for disobeying what Hashem said. So what do you mean in any kaddish nesius chetlama? What do you mean taking it as a given that if the truma weren't to take effect, then the person wouldn't bear any aver? Rava would say that he does. But okay, Tosfos brings from Reb Shimshon Mishantz, who says that there's no reason to mention the word Messias Chet in that case. Obviously, according to everybody, if a person does something against what Hashem said, then he's bearing guilt. So the fact that it has to use the word Veloy Sisu Olav Chet implies that there is a case where there's a specific Messias Chet for. Because he actually accomplished something, not just because he disobeyed Hashem, but because he actually accomplished something and made this bad produce into Shruma, and therefore, so that's the implication, therefore, that it actually does become Shruma.
We correlate, therefore, that
it is Shruma. So Rava would say, so Abaya would say that's no problem, that's the general rule of the Torah that way. Rava would say there's an exception to that. Okay, so we have to ask, according to Abaya, why does it need to say that point? Ula Abaya, so according to Abaya, why does it have to say Velasisu Olav Chet? According to him, the general rule is, according to Abaya's general rule, of course the Truma would take effect. Why do you need a pasuk to tell us, to imply that it does? Because, Ilav to Amar Achmona Velasisu Olav Chet, because if the Torah had not used those words, you shouldn't bear an Aveda for it. Have Amini, you would think like this. Hochi Amar Achmona, the Torah is telling you like this. Ovid Mitzvah Min Amuchar, you're supposed to do the Mitzvah in the best possible way. Better you should take from the best possible produce. The E, loy ovid, but if you didn't choyte loy mikri, you could argue that a person who didn't is not considered a choyte, is not considered a sinner. You could say, okay, he was over on an issur, but you can't necessarily say, call him that he's over on a chet, that he's over on a sin for it. So therefore, that's why we need the word voice, this is all of chet. Abaya would say the chiddush is not so much that the truma is truma. The chiddush is we shouldn't just say that he failed to do mitzvah and mocher. No, the chiddush is he was actually over on a chet. He was actually over on a major aveda. But according to Abaya, there's no chiddush in that it's truma, because obviously it's truma. And according to Rava, there is a chiddush that it's truma, because normally according to Rava's rule, we would say it shouldn't have been truma. What about another case? Yeah, it's an exceptional case. Okay. How about another one? What about the case of taking truma or meiser from one type of produce on behalf of another? The pasuk says all the fat of the oil and of the other things that you give truma. Meaning when it spells out Yitzhar and it spells out Tirush for Dargon, it means Litin Chelev Lazev Chelev Lazev. It means you have to give the Chelev, you have to give the best one of each kind. You can't give, for example, from grapes on behalf of olives or whatever. And Utnan, and we learn in a Mishnah also in Trumas, Ein Termin Miminash Ein Emino. You cannot take Truma from one species, from one type of produce on a different type of produce. The Imtoram Ein Truma say Truma. And if he took such Truma, it's not valid Truma. Alma Loi Mahani. So there we see the Torah says don't do something. He did it. It's ineffective. Chuf to Abaya. There you have a contradiction on Abaya, because according to Abaya, why shouldn't it take effect? The answer is Omalach Abaya. Abaya can answer you. Shiny Hossam, the Omakra, Reishisam. Yeah, but you have a different pasuk. The pasuk actually it's in that same pasuk. It says Kochelav Yitzer, and the pasuk continues Reishisam. There first, meaning Reishis Lazev. Reishis Lazev means the Torah is spelling out there has to be a separate Reishis. There has to be a first thing, a separate truma for each one. So therefore, so that's a special case. The Torah spells out over there that it's ineffective. Otherwise, we would have said that it is effective to take from one produce on another. The Chayin Amar Abila, Reishisam, actually. And Abila said the same thing. Because the pasuk says Reishisam, therefore it means there's a Reishis separately for each one, and therefore the Torah is spelling out for you that it doesn't work to take from one on behalf of the other. Okay. Again, we have to ask Ulu Rava, according to Rava, why does the Torah need to tell us that? Shouldn't it be obvious, according to Rava, that it doesn't take effect? The reason is, Elav to Amar Achmona Reishis. Yeah, but Rava can say like this. If the Torah hadn't said the word Reishis, or Reishisam, rather, have Amina, you would think like this. Kirish v'yitzhar d'chtibu chelev chelev. So yeah, the pasuk goes like this. Kiru chelev yitzhar, all the best quality of the oil, v'chol chelev kirish v'dogon, and all the best quality of the wine and of the grain. Of those, Yeshisam, the first of them you should give to Hashem as Terumah. You should give to Hashem, meaning to the Kohen, as Terumah. So the point is, you would say like this. If you didn't have the word Reshis, in Reshisam, you would say, Tiresh v'yitzo d'chtibu chelev chelev. When it comes to oil and wine, where it is chelev individually by each one, sure, dein term and mizalze. Sure, then we know automatically you can't take Terumah from each one, from either one on behalf of the other, because it's chelev separately by each one. Avol tiresh v'dogon, but when it comes to wine and grain, or dogon v'dogon, or when it comes to two different types of grain, the chad chelav k'zibu, there it only says one chelav, it says kol chelav yitzov, kol chelav tiresh v'dogon, so it doesn't say the word chelav by dogon again. So then you would think, kitorin mehai ahai loyloki. You would argue that maybe if a person were to give truma on the, were to give truma from wine on behalf of grain or whatever, you would argue that he doesn't get malchus, or actually not really malchus. You don't get malchus for this issue. It's a lav shein lemaisa, but at least you would say that he hasn't been over on an aveira. Therefore, the Torah instead writes the word reshis. According to Rava, we can chelav lozer v'chelav lozer to tell us that each one has to have its own chelav. So according to Abaya, the word reshisam is needed to teach us the concept that even though usually doing against what the Torah says should take effect, here it doesn't. And according to Rava, we know already it doesn't take effect. The word reshisam teaches us this, that a person is over equally much if he's doing it for whichever type of produce he gives on behalf of whichever one. Okay. Lishnachrina, again, we have in the Gemara a second version of the discussion that we would say the last part would go like this: Hoch Tirish v'Dagon. That you would think when it comes to Tirish and Dagon, wine and grain, the Chad Chelav Ksibahu, where it only says it's one Chelav combined between the two of them, because there's Chelav Tirish v'Dagon. Torim Mehayahai. So in this second version, you would think maybe even you could give. In the first version, we said it's a given that you can't give Terumah from one on behalf of the other, and we were just saying maybe you wouldn't get Malkus. You wouldn't be over on an Aveira or whatever. But here we're saying in the second version, we're actually saying that maybe he would actually be allowed to do it. Therefore, the Torah writes the word Reshis in the second version. According to Rava, the reason for the word Reshis is to teach us that you can't do it at all. Even though you might have thought you could, because they're put together under the word chaylev, but the word reshisam teaches us that you can't do that. Okay, so we're going to continue. As I said, the sugya goes on for a while. We're at the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph now, and the sugya goes all the way until someplace on Daf Vav. Meanwhile, we're up to, we have no contradiction against Abaya yet. We have no contradiction against Rava yet. Rava still has his position that Ovid Loi Mahani, you did something against what the Torah says, it has no effect by halacha, with the exception, unless the Torah itself specifies that it does, such as by the case of the Oynes and such as by the case of Truma from bad on behalf of good. And according to Abaya, the other way, it usually is effective unless the Torah specifies otherwise, like in the case here of Reshisam.
And who's going to win tomorrow?
So over Shabbos you have Shlomi Newbort Bez Hashem.
Okay.
And then Sunday night we'll continue doing on the phone Bez Hashem.
Okay. So have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
You coming back?
I don't know yet when I'm coming back. We'll have to see.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.